today on Real Radio.
Lean not your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall, there it is, direct, counsel your paths. Isn't that beautiful? Lord, help me. Okay, Jack, you keep your antenna up, you keep talking to me, and I'm going to walk you through step by step.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 3, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. Now, God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so he could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In chapter 11 of Isaiah, we learned that a Messiah would come and that he will have two birthrights. He'll be born from the seed of David, and he'll have the spirit of holiness. Now, both birthrights point to the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Messiah will also have the spirit of the Lord on him and the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and of might. The Messiah will also have the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, in part 3, we'll continue to see why these sevenfold spirits are so important, and how Isaiah confirms to us that Jesus Christ is our salvation. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when Jesus returns, he will counsel with complete authority. It's only his guidance that we can put our trust in and not have to lean on our own understanding. Jesus will lead us with his power to defeat our enemies and the enemies of Israel. And now continuing his lesson called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Revelation 5:12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Wow. The Bible tells us again in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord?" Answer, nobody. "Or who has become his counselor?" I know we've all tried. He doesn't listen to us. "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." This is Jesus Christ. This is the Jesus of Christianity. This is the Jesus of the Bible. So what does that mean to us? The Bible tells us in the book of James that if we need wisdom, we can ask God for wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Listen, wisdom's amazing because, in fact, I encourage you to buy any of his books. There's a guy that I love to read. He's so simple but so precious in his insights. The guy's name is Vance Havner. You ought to buy his books. He's an old country pastor from, I think, the Carolinas or this Tennessee or somewhere. He's long gone. He's in heaven now. But Billy Graham used to call him his pastor, Vance Havner, and very minuscule education to say, you know, the most. It was just very basic. But this guy had such insights into God. And you read them and you'll be so, so encouraged. And you know, how does that happen? Because you know what? He has wisdom. There's people who have knowledge. And it's sad that all that knowledge is wasted on a human because they just don't know what to do with it. I saw a guy one time. I'm not going to be too specific because he's related to me. But I saw a guy. My family's really bright, really, really bright. And he's reading a book. I don't know what it was. Seriously, it was like a book on physics or something. And this is how he was. He had all kinds of knowledge. He knew you never wanted to play Jeopardy with this guy because he'd win every time. And he's just going along reading a book on physics and walks right through a plate glass window. He did this. He didn't do it once. He did this stuff all the time. You say, "Man, what is wrong with you? You're brilliant. What's up?" a lot of knowledge. He didn't have much of the ability to apply the knowledge. That ability is called wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. It doesn't matter how knowledgeable you are. You can get killed being knowledgeable. But you need to have wisdom. And the beautiful thing about being a Christian, you can be a smartest person in the world or not. The Christian just has to ask God for wisdom. And the Bible says in the book of James, God will give wisdom and he will not hold back from you if you need it. We don't have wisdom because we don't ask. We should ask him. Imagine just in this service alone tonight, if all of us just ask God, Lord, let's do it right now anyway. Let's do it. Are you ready to do it? Lord Jesus, give us wisdom. We pray we need it, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine us now? Listen, and pretty soon, in about 30 minutes, you're going to get up and out of here, and you're going to walk out into the world, and the world should go, oh, my goodness, look, this all this wisdom's coming at me. Lord, give us wisdom for this age. We need wisdom. The world is nuts. Things are crazy. We need wisdom as to how to apply the knowledge that we have of God. We know a lot, people. We know a lot. We could sit down and answer the theological questions, but are we doing that knowledge? That's what really matters. Very needful. The Bible goes on and says that upon him shall rest the spirit of understanding. The word in Hebrew here for understanding regarding the Messiah that Isaiah speaks about, this is the revelation of understanding. This is the given understanding that comes from God. It's a perfect understanding. It's a complete understanding. Understanding. To know by divine revelation. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. Daniel 9:20 tells us, now, while I was speaking, this is Daniel, and praying and confessing my sin. By the way, listen carefully to this. When I flushed out this verse today, it really warmed my heart, and you'll see why in a moment. So Daniel is praying. Remember, he's in captivity. He's in prison for being a believer. While I'm speaking, while I'm praying, while I'm confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, there's Yahweh, my God, for the holy mountain of my people, that's Zion. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, this is the angel Gabriel, you know him at Christmas, reached me about the time of the evening offering, that's 3:00 in the afternoon. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come for to give you skill to understand. That's exactly the word. Jesus Christ was born into the world in a human body. And here's what's amazing. He learned wisdom though he were God. He learned obedience. He learned understanding. He had to be dependent upon his father like you and I have to be dependent upon our father. The word is kenosis. K-E-N-O-S-I-S. It means that God, that Christ, willingly, willfully set aside certain things to not know or to not do. Watch this. Because of his humanity. He set them aside. Do you remember, for example, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and they come to arrest him and Peter pulls out his knife and cuts off Malchus's ear? Remember that? And Jesus says, put away your sword. Don't you know I could call down now 12 legions of angels? Did you know he wasn't fooling? Why didn't he? You might say, well, why didn't he? Here's the amazing thing. We talk about Jesus' meekness, right? This is the definition of meekness. Jesus had the satellite phone right here in his robe to call down 12 legions of angels. Yeah, 12 legions of angels, move now. This is Jesus, over and out. Can you imagine? But he didn't. It's right there, he didn't grab it. That's kenosis. It's an act of God to pick up something, to use something, to employ something, but he chooses not to. So because he would associate with us because he knew what we'd have to go through and what we'd have to feel. He had all that power and all, he could have known at 1 year of age, he could have known everything, but he, listen, in his coming, he opted to not pick up that knowledge and learn just like you and I did. Jesus had to be potty trained. Jesus had to learn how to walk. The creator of the universe had to learn how to walk. How does it make you feel? I love it. By the way, when you read the book of Daniel chapter 9, this warmed my heart today, reading that in its full context, is Daniel, it says that as he was in prison, and listen, as he was reading from the book of Jeremiah, he came to understand when he put the dates together that Israel was in their captivity just about done. The 70-year captivity was just about over. And he read the book of Jeremiah, and as of reading that, he concludes, holy cow. He's Jew. He didn't say holy cow, but he's like, oh my goodness. We're like really close to that time frame. The 70 years is almost up of our captivity. So he starts praying, seeking, asking God, maybe God wants to do something. And in Daniel chapter 9, it's the greatest prophetic revelation. It's considered the holy of holies of Bible prophecy, verses 24 to 27. Daniel was reading the prophet Jeremiah, the same Jeremiah you have in your Bible. That is awesome. Doesn't that excite you? I thought you guys would go, ooh, ah, wow, that's really cool. Yeah. Number four, out of the seven spirits, manifestation of his characteristics, the spirit of counsel. The word counsel here means to guide or to direct or to lead perfectly and completely. The spirit of counsel shall rest upon him. He will be led perfectly and guided perfectly. And then what did Jesus do? As he follows the lead of the Father and as Jesus went into the wilderness, do you remember that? And was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. What happens? He's led by the Spirit. Isn't it amazing? He's baptized in the water by John the Baptist, comes up out of the water. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon Christ and led him into the wilderness. Why? Because he's the Lamb of God. Every lamb that was to be offered up as a sacrifice had to be tested. And Jesus is driven into the wilderness for his testing. And what did he do, by the way? It's amazing. You think in the wilderness that he would do some sleight of hand, some trickery? Nope. How did Jesus contend with the devil and all of the temptations that Satan levied against Jesus? By the way, all of them viable temptations? And every temptation, Jesus responded exactly how you and I are supposed to respond. He taught us how. The Word of God. Christian, listen. There is no substitute for the Bible. Ah, it's an old book. You know, when anybody says that, they're just confessing to you. They don't read it. Okay, look, it is an old book. It's an old book. But it's more than an old book. It's eternal. This is eternal truth. You know what's fun about this? You can burn every Bible in the world, and it doesn't change what the Bible says. Isn't that great? It's the eternal Word of God. It lives forever. Jesus said, it's forever. And all of it will be fulfilled, Christ said. Amen. The Word of God. And Jesus submitted himself to that, and Jesus spoke the Word of God. And how many times in the book of Matthew, for example, Jesus spoke, and then it says, Matthew adds, and this was recorded because as it is written in the prophet, and then it quotes the Old Testament prophecy. Christ was the living word. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, y'all know this verse, verses 5 through 8, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's enough. Does that, I don't know about you, I stumble over the first word. You ever do that? Or am I confessing just for me or for all of us? I'm not going to listen to you. I'm confessing for all of us. Trust. It depends on how my day goes. Isn't that terrible to admit? Trust. He's never given me any reason to not trust him. So then why do I not trust him sometimes? Because I get full of me. I get full of myself. I sit down with me. I have a council. We sit down, we talk. And I conclude that between me, myself, and I, we've got the right answer. And then I get up and go and things start to fall apart. And then I went, oh God, what happened? And he's like, you didn't ask. What are you talking to me for? You didn't even ask me. No, when I trust in the Lord with all of my heart, then things work. Lean not to your own understanding. Oh, what's wrong with us? Isn't it funny? Think of that. Lean not on your own understanding. Imagine just those words. Hey, world. Supreme Court. Hollywood. Lean not on your own understanding. That's anathema to the world, because the world is so full of itself, it thinks that it's got all the truth. And the Bible says, you're going to crash. Lean not your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall, there it is, direct, counsel your paths. Isn't that beautiful? Lord, help me. Okay, Jack, you keep your antenna up. You keep talking to me, and I'm going to walk you through step by step. You ever see those guys on movies? I've never seen it. I don't care to ever see it in real life. But those bomb guys, you know, the bomb guys, they got cameras, and they're going to go defuse a bomb squad, and all the experts are safe in some truck down the street somewhere, and they're watching this poor guy, and they go, okay, now, we're looking at we see what you got. Oh, it's a big one. This bomb will blow up half the city. Cut the green line. No, the red line. You know, have you ever seen them walking through that? And the guy's like, but they walk him through. Every path along the way, it's God's heart, it's God's desire to walk you and I along the path every way. And you know this is true. Just in life, God has given us pictures. When we have little kids, we're like that with our little kids. They could be, you know, it's amazing being a parent, because you got to pull back to let them think that they're doing stuff on their own, right? They need to do that. One of the hardest things about parenting is from the day that you bring that baby home, you start letting go of that child. You're preparing them for the next 18, 20 years to live on their own. That's why at some point, you know, they're holding your finger, and then what do? Isn't it weird? They're walking, and they're holding your finger, and then you move their finger off of your finger, and they're like this. You have to do that. But when you do that, just like teaching your kid how to ride a bike, they've got your attention when you're teaching them how to ride the bike, but they never have your attention more until you let go of the bike. And now you're like, and you're right. Same with when you let go of the baby's hand. You've been given your attention, but now that you let go of their hand, you are super fixed on them. Now, God's the same way with us. God, I'm going into this trouble. I'm going into this issue. I'm going into this dilemma. And he's there. I had someone on, I forget, what is today, Wednesday? I think it was Monday. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. It was this week. Seems like a month ago already, but it's just a couple days ago where somebody was telling me they were born in another country, and they wound up hearing the gospel, though, in their country. And I said, how did that happen in the world that you grew up in? And I believe this was a Hindu nation. And the response was, well, in our village, somebody was a Christian or had become a Christian. And what happened was people would get sick or they'd be in a crisis. And we would pray to all these gods and nothing would happen. And then the Christian would pray, and things would happen. And she said at one point where someone was prayed for, and the person was healed, and the village got saved. They gave up on their gods and followed Jesus. Now, and listen, yeah, listen, here's the deal. I've had Muslims tell me that one of the tricks that they have learned is to get a Christian to pray for them. Somebody told me in Pomona at Cal Poly. Think of it. So why don't you just follow that logic all the way through then? Oh, yeah, it's a very strange thing. The Christians, when they pray, their God moves. Well, hello, he's got ears. That's why he's alive. He's listening. And he'll direct you. He really will. Number 5 is the spirit of might. Might, the power, the mastery. The word means the ability of God. The use of the word often appears in the Bible in the context of battle or war, the spirit of might. This is hard for us to grasp in our peace-neck world that we try to create. Is Jesus meek and mild? I don't know if that was ever true in the way that we want it to be true. Jesus meek and mild, do you think the Pharisees would report Jesus being meek and mild? I don't think so. I think we have the wrong definition assigned to those words. I'm sure Jesus was meek and mild in the right audience. But when Jesus said, for example, if anybody harms a little one, a little child, it would be better for that person to have never been born. There's nothing meek and mild about that. The Bible says that when the Lord returns, he's going to fight for the nation of Israel as he has done in the day of battle. When did God in the Old Testament go to battle? Isn't it amazing? He says, I went to battle. I went before and I'm going to do it again. Amen. When you read the book of Revelation, the Bible says that Jesus Christ returns. Now listen, the church is in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place. There's a great party going on, a great celebration. And then apparently Jesus somehow leaves the party because the next time we see him, he is back up in heaven with the bride of Christ, the church, Revelation 19. The Bible says, John says, I saw heaven's door open up and we follow Christ on white horses. Are you tracking with me? Revelation 19. And his robes are splattered with blood. Jesus. When did this happen? Well, when you read the Old Testament, you find out that during the tribulation period, Christ somehow manifests or is involved in the wars that are levied against Israel to defend them during the tribulation period. What is going on? How does that look? I don't know. But how many times you've read in the Old Testament where God shows up in the battle and Israel, against all odds, the enemy is defeated and Israel comes out of the victory and Israel makes sacrifices and they say, Lord, you've done it today. David said that many times, that the Lord fought for us. Isn't that amazing?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 3. Glad you could take the time to join us today. God is always desiring to have a personal relationship with you and with me, and you know the truth is his Spirit is always working in our behalf. The Spirit of God at Work, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here at Real Radio, we realize how challenging it can be to learn and understand the Old Testament prophecies, like the book of Isaiah, especially if you've recently committed your life to Christ or maybe you've rededicated your life to him. So, if you want to know what it really means to be a Christ follower, Pastor Jack has a tab at the website titled Know God. It's there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and it's on the Real Life app for your mobile device, too. The Know God tab, that's K-N-O-W, God, is uniquely designed to walk you step by step in the basics of having a personal relationship with God through Jesus, his Son. The Know God tab includes scriptures on salvation, along with what your commitment to Christ involves, and some basic practices that'll help you grow closer to him, and to help you share his love with others in your life. Now, if you have any further questions, you can email us. Give us your email address when you go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.